Heavenly Father, we just thank you for choosing to give us your Son, offering him as a sacrifice for us, that we may live abundantly in your presence, that we may have eternal life. Jesus, I pray that anyone listening would not be hearing my voice, but would be just experiencing your Spirit, communicating your love to them. And your desire for abundant living, for healthy Christian living. And Lord Jesus, I just give you the honor and the praise and the glory. You are mighty and you are strong, Jesus, and your presence is all we need. You are truly the King and the Good Shepherd. And we worship you in your name. We pray, amen. Hello, this is Mike Ryan, and this is the second part of the Christian life that I posted yesterday. I ran out of time, and I want to kind of go back and just revisit what was talked about and then kind of go to the second part of the Christian life. I wasn't really intending on a second part, but seeing as ran out of time, and I think the Lord has laid some other things in my heart to share with you, I'm going to make a second part. So first, we in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, and essentially, you know, if you've believed the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ came and walked in this earth, and he fulfilled God's every desire perfectly in a way that you could never do, and that he was mistreated, beaten, harmed, mocked, scourged, and was crucified on a cross voluntarily, and that was your judgment, your one and only judgment, you have been saved. If you believe that, if you believe that he rose again after being killed on the cross and now lives in heaven, he lives now in you. You are born again and you've been saved. But now you have to live this life. And he is the life. He is the life. And when you're living a life in Jesus Christ, these things will come out of you. And we talked about just some things that I believe that the Lord wants to produce in you that are important. It's being able to treat others a certain way and to be connecting to the Lord vertically in a certain way. And maybe I'm simplifying verses 12 through 18, or 20 rather. But I believe that this is good stuff. To basically treat other people in a way that's good. The people who lead over you and who serve you, to be thinking about the work that they do rather than being critical to them. To be esteeming other people very high in love, who are laboring in ministry, and to not be critical to them. Also, to be in peace with other people, to be admonishing the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, helping the weak, being patient with everyone, not repaying evil for evil, seeking after what is good. This is the love that Jesus Christ talks about when he says loving one another. This is how you love one another. You patient, not seeking to repay evil with evil. Trying to find what's good for other people. Those are the things that I believe that the Lord wants you and I to do through his Spirit. And I think the other important piece, and I think Jesus said, you know, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. And I believe that to love the Lord is to know him and to be in his presence and to be daily seeking him out. And I believe that it talks about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, to rejoice always. I believe that this invites the presence of the Lord to be filling you up. This really brings you in the front seat to see the face of the Lord, to be rejoicing about what he's done for you, to be praying constantly without ceasing. This is a state of prayer where you're focusing on the presence of Christ in you asking him to fill you up, in tune with him filling you up, giving thanks, not putting yourself in circumstances that are quenching the spirit or snuffing out the spirit and the presence of God. We can put ourselves around people or around activities or all types of elements that can really drown out the spirit of Jesus Christ living in you. And you don't want to do that. You want to be getting in more of the Spirit. You want to be seeing more of the Lord, not drowning him out. To test what people say, the prophetic utterances, to test it, you know, to not just listen to what everyone says. Don't despise it, but also just be wise, be discerning, and to under the context of holding fast to what is good, and what is good is Jesus Christ. You know, just constantly having your center fixed on him, your mind meditating on him, so you can determine what's right and what's wrong, and abstaining from evil, because that also will quench the spirit. And verse 23 to 24 explains that it is the Lord who does all this for us. It's him. It's him that accomplishes all this in our life. That it's by his spirit, it's by his working on us that he draws us to himself. And he produces the fruit of how we treat other people, and that we're being patient with them. And it's important to know that. It really is important to know that he does it. I don't understand how it works, that we have a choice, but that he's also in control. But I don't need to understand. I don't know how my cell phone works, but I it works. So this is what the Lord says, and we draw near to him, and he's the one that's allowing it and producing it, but we're also making a choice. But I'd like to talk to you today about a second part of Christian living where, you know, it's another element to it that I think is important of repentance. You know, I think anyone who's been a believer for some time will understand that this is not going to be something that you're going to carry out all the time. This is not going to be something that you're going to be perfect at. There are many times in this walk where we say and do things that we regret, that we drop the ball. And a lot of times we know exactly what it is, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't even know how we've sinned against the Lord or how we sinned against other people. And I believe it's really important to keep a spirit of humility. You know, we really have an abundant life because it's his power working in us that keeps us from sin, but it's his grace working in us that picks us up when we do sin. It's all around, it's complete. Well, wait a minute, well, if he's keeping us from sin, how can we sin? Well, because we have imperfect bodies, and we're not always tuning into the Lord. We're just not. It doesn't matter if you're saved for 20 years, 5 minutes, 5 months. You can't always be walking perfectly with the Lord in your conduct. And so the Lord gives us his grace to stay with us. And how do you enter into the grace of God? How do you enjoy the mercy of God? Repentance. And how often do you repent? Every day, all day. You know, I like to practice before I start speaking to him, I start repenting of him. In Isaiah chapter 6, when he was before the Lord in his presence, the very first thing he did, it says he repented. He said, I'm of a man of unclean lips. He confessed his sin. I believe that confessing your sin to the Lord is really important. And it's a really important part of your Christian walk to not be discouraged by your sinfulness, but to just confess it and to ask for his grace and to fill you up and to continue to seek him so that he can produce the fruit in you. Talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I believe that that's really healthy to do. And James, let me go ahead over there. James chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, submit therefore to God. I think, you know, it says therefore because it was just talking about our behavior and how we can be selfish and be at war and fighting with one another, fighting against ourselves, wanting things that we can't have, but wanting it for selfish reasons. And what's the answer to that? You know, if the answer is just submit to God. Submit to God. And the devil will flee from you, because a lot of times, you know, it is spiritual warfare. Satan comes in and,
You know, he tempts us, and I'm not going to make our Christian walk about Satan tempting us, because we have the Lord living in us, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But the scripture does teach, as Jesus teaches, that we have an enemy that seeks to destroy us, that seeks to snuff us out. And so I would encourage you to be in a state of repentance. You know, don't beat yourself up for your imperfection. Just run to the grace of the Lord. It really is humbling. It really is a great place to be, because sometimes when we're allowing Christ to produce good fruit in us, sometimes we can start to become high-minded that, oh, look at how I'm living. I'm, you know, and we forget, like, wait a minute, no. It's not me, it's him. Your flesh. You know, we have wicked hearts. Now, we don't know the extent of how wicked it is, but it's wicked. It's wicked. You'll do things you never thought you would do. And so whenever good that you're doing in the Spirit, it's because it's in the Spirit. It's by him. So it's important that as you just, you know, you meditate on him and you seek his presence, to submit to him. It says in verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I believe that that really ought to be where we're at. We ought to be drawing near to God in faith, because we know that he'll draw near to us through faith. And I believe that we cleanse ourselves. Well, we're already cleansed spiritually in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But here on earth, we need to be confessing our sins to him. And how do we do that? Well, we just ask for forgiveness. It says in 1 John that we have an advocate in heaven who's ready to forgive us. And we just, when we sin, if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. Point blank. I mean, you're just a liar. So let repentance be a part of your day. Just humbling yourself and realizing that you're just flesh. Make a habit of going to people and when you offend them, to say, hey, I offended you and I'm sorry. Being able to say that you're sorry to the Lord, being able to say that you're sorry to other people, that's part of the Christian walk. Because you're a believer, it doesn't mean you're perfect. You know that. But the world, they don't know that. The world thinks that Christians think they're just so high and mighty. And that's really partly our fault, because we do have this attitude of like, oh, we're saved, we're going to heaven, and you need to get on board with this. But the reality is we're all beggars. We're all on death row. And we just found the ticket. And that ticket is Jesus Christ. But we still have the same sinful nature that got us on to death row. We still have that same sinful nature that got us to death row, but we just got a ticket. We got a pardon. And we just need to remember that. And I think we forget that sometimes when we try to live out this Christian life, that we are just as sinful as someone who doesn't know the Lord. And we, and as anybody, really, I mean, we're all just made of flesh. So it's important to be able to go to someone else and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. Or go to the Lord and say, look, I'm sorry. Confess your sin to him. And then continue to enjoy the Lord and to seek him. It says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. I think another way to humble yourself is to confess how inadequate you are. You know, because really, to confess how inadequate you are is to give praise to the Lord who makes you adequate. Because you're made acceptable. You're made holy. You know, you are to present yourself as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable unto God. You haven't made yourself alive. Ephesians 2 says that you were dead. You know, you haven't made yourself acceptable. You haven't made yourself holy. I mean, that's something that the Lord did. The Lord made you alive. The Lord made you acceptable. The Lord made you holy. So it was all his blood. And so we can present ourselves as living holy and acceptable, not because we haven't sinned today, not because we haven't conquered our sinful nature, but because of what he's already done. So when you can go to the Lord and just apologize to him and ask for repentance and be sincere, you're really lifting him up, because you're presenting yourself as holy. And you're confessing your unholiness, but you're still having the grace on you. You see how it works? So I would encourage you to make your Christian walk threefold in that way. Just to be seeking his presence, repenting in his presence, And thirdly, just bearing the fruit of how you treat other people, you know. Just loving him and loving others. That's really what it comes down to. It's just loving him, and loving him is to give him glory, and it's to humble yourself. And I believe that repentance is a big, huge part of that. And I believe that him living in you and filling you up will cause you to love other people. And when you don't love other people properly, because that's going to happen as a believer, as an unbeliever, as anyone, we all can rub one another the wrong way. But when we do something towards another person, we just can humble ourselves to them and say, I'm sorry. And that's the better way, really. Excuse me, that's the better way. No more pride, nothing like that. Don't let pride get in the way of confessing your sin to the Lord, or confessing your sin to other people, or, oh, if I confess my sin to this person, then they're going to have a license to, you know, not take responsibility for their wrong. That's not your concern. Your concern is to be right and holy unto the Lord, and to be enjoying the Lord and letting him fill you up. And that's the good way. That's the better way. So I pray that you're blessed by this, and that you just walk in repentance and humility, and just seeking the presence of your Lord, your God, your personal God, Jesus Christ, and just allowing him to bear fruit in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just drawing us to you, drawing us to just the truth of your Son, Jesus, who saves all, who redeems all. You, Lord Jesus, are who we need to give us life and to sustain us throughout the day, sustain us through our sinful flesh and habits. We need you, Jesus. You are truly our bread and our drink. And you are the living water. Lord, I pray anyone listening was blessed, and that you would just let your spirit be touching them and filling them up. In your name I pray, amen.